Welcome back to the podcast. My guest today is Ben Hazelrig. Ben, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, O. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm blessed, man. Another day where I was productive at work, and then I get to come home and do my podcast and talk to artists, and other people of all types of all walks of life. So this is a part where I get to sit and listen to other people and their inspiration and how they came to
That's
what they
awesome.
love to do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So tell me where you're from.
I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio,
Okay.
but I've been here in Florida since I was 18. So I've been in Florida more than I was Ohio, but yeah, I've been here since 93. I moved down for college.
Okay, what college did you go to?
I went to FAU
Okay.
down in Boca, and I've been here in Orlando pretty much ever since. I spent 1 year in Hawaii, like after I graduated. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, so a job took me out there, and then that was short-lived. Man, you can spend a lot of money in Hawaii.
Oh yeah, a whole lot. If people don't know that it can get expensive out there, man.
Yeah,
Yeah.
but came back, got a real job. For a couple of years, I was a stock trader, and then opened
Wait,
up
wait,
my
wait,
own
wait, wait,
business.
wait. Hold on, hold on, hold on. You're skipping something. What did you major in while you were in college?
Exercise science. I wanted to be active. Like, I loved sports growing up. I had really good coaches in almost all of my sports when I grew up as a kid, like State of Ohio Coach of the Year, basketball coach, football coach. Like, just I love, and then my dad coached me in all my little league sports, and so I just, I had a love for sports. It wasn't something that, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be a professional athlete, but I just wanted, I don't know, I loved exercise science. I thought being around, like, whether I was going to be an athletic trainer or a personal trainer, kind of a person, like a strength coach or anything in that realm, I know I didn't want to sit at a desk. That was my thing. Like, when I was 20 years old, I didn't want to sit at a desk. I want to do something active. And so I chose exercise science, And yeah. And so in college, I got into cheerleading. So I was an athlete growing up, right? I know.
This is starting off pretty cool. All right, this is different. This is different.
I know. But like, so I've always been that high energy guy. You know what I mean? Like,
Okay.
just always. Like, in junior high and high school, I was the first guy to go dance. Like, I was just always that. I just have confidence, man. I just don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just that guy. And when I got to college, I was just bored to death, man. Like, I had played a sport every season since sixth grade. Like, I had never gone home after school. And like, when I was 18, I was still, just young and wanting to get into stuff. And at FAU, I was a couple thousand miles away from home, didn't know anybody. And this cute little blonde cheerleader gave me this flyer and said, "Why don't you come to tryouts?" And so the rest is history. Like, I just went, threw some girls around. They taught me how to do all that stuff. I was pretty good at it. And it kind of just sucked me in. So, like, that was kind of my college summer jobs and all that kind of stuff. That's how I met my ex-wife. She cheered at University of Texas.
Okay.
And so that's just kind of like, that was my thing, through those years. And then
Oh, wait,
I
wait,
went
wait.
to,
Keep your thought. That was your
okay.
thing, right? That was just your thing through the years. Where is art in the realm of all of this? Where is it?
So let me back up. I grew up with an artist. My
Okay.
dad was a college professor at Columbus College of Art and Design.
Okay.
That's up in Columbus. My whole life, my dad was an art professor, he did some personal projects at home. He did some freelance stuff like on the side from his professor job. But like at school, he taught everything. Like, he taught from art history to lettering to packaging to three-dimensional design. I mean, he taught a lot of different classes. Art
Okay.
history was one of his loves. Like, he loved history, and three-dimensional design was like his other one. He wrote his own course on three-dimensional design for the school, actually, like when I was growing up. And so, like, he was always making something, and I think that's kind of why art was always in, is always in there. When I was younger, I did some stuff. Like, he took me to some art classes at his school, but I was like probably 10 years old, and I did some stuff in high school, but I just never, just pre-internet, pre-smartphones, I'm not pre-internet, but like right at the beginning of internet, where you just didn't know how you could be successful as an artist, And so I just kind of never really never seemed like an option, you know? And I just, I always had that creativity going. And when I got into cheer, I started stunting a lot. And I use that creativity, that same juice that like gets me to do this stuff, that same juice would like, I'd invent new stunts, you know, like I'd come up with new tricks. And that's what made me successful through college doing that stuff. My ex-wife and I, we opened a gym after I came back and traded stocks for 3 years. I made good money, got out all my debt, paid everything off. And then stock market, then 9/11 happened. I was trading stocks when 9/11 happened. Like I was sitting there watching the TV, waiting to trade that day. And I watched the plane fly into the building. Like, and then after that happened, stocks died, you know, like volatility just went. And so that job was like quickly coming to an end. And then I was like, well, I love coaching. I like sports. My background's in exercise science. I got good at this cheerleading thing. My ex-wife was, you know, cheered at Texas, and she had coached at gymnastics, like up in Austin, Texas, where she was went to high school and stuff. And so we were like, let's open a gym, you know, like let's open an all-star gym. And so like, we'll do cheerleading, we'll do gymnastics, we'll do it all. Let's do that. And so we opened our own gym. That was in 03. And you know, we did all of it. We did the birthday parties, the open gyms, competitive cheer, tumbling classes, gymnastics. And that gave me that same creative outlet because then I'm putting together like, you know, stunt sequences and pyramids and things like that. And you're trying to make them big, cool, and crazy, kind of like what Cirque du Soleil does and things like that. And so there was an outlet there. And then once I closed my gym, it's funny, man, within 9 months, I didn't have that creative outlet and I felt it. Like I was just like, okay, I got to do something. Like I got to do something. And so I was
So
meditating. I started meditating.
what makes you shut down the gym?
I got divorced. So my ex and I got divorced in 2012.
Okay.
So we had been in business for about 8 years. We got divorced. And ever since then, it just wasn't the same business. You
Okay.
know what I mean? Then it
Okay.
becomes like a freaking memory every time you walk in the doors, you know, like
Yeah.
it just nothing wrong with the kids or anything else. It was just me. Like just
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
you're walking into baggage every
Yeah.
day. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Like,
Yeah.
and after, and so I had really been looking for a way to get out of it the last 4 years. You know, like I took every online course you could take from Amazon FBA to affiliate marketing to running a marketing can like a marketing company online, you know. And I learned a bunch of stuff, man. I must have taken 20 online courses to cover it all. You know,
Okay.
but I never really acted on any of it until I got to some websites. I had a couple website ideas. I built a content website for gyms and got it up and running, made all the content for it. I made about $17,000 in like the first 6 months just selling content, like little like 30-second ads for social media
Okay.
for like different gyms, you know, like for gym owners. Like things, you know, because I was a gym owner, so I was like, well, what do I need? You know, I was like, oh, I need more content for social media. And so I made these little like how to handstand little ads. And it was a cool business model, but like it was one of those things. Like I did all of it, I got it up and running, I made some money at it, but I had no long-term plan for it. You know what I mean? Like I had no like I didn't even have a 5-year plan for it. I really thought I was gonna get it up. I was going to launch it. I was going to sell a whole bunch of these things. I was going to make 30 grand. I was going to close it down and move on to the next thing. And like, it was just like the slow trickle. But like, it was a failing forward kind of thing. You know what I mean? I learned how to build a website. I
Okay.
learned how to set up a repaying credit card thing on a website, on my own website. I learned all about that stuff. And I learned like what I did wrong. Like I didn't have a game plan for the business. You know what I mean? I had an idea, but I didn't really have like a lasting plan. And so like I did a couple things like that. And I was still doing the gym at the time. And then the gym just got to the point where I was just miserable, man. It was like Groundhog's Day. It's like Groundhog's Day going to, I don't know, just the his, you know what I mean? Like it was just a bad situation. And
Okay.
so I finally just got to a snapping point and I said, that's it, I'm closing it. I'm done. I don't care what comes next.
You
I
just wanted to
can't
be
be
out that
this unhappy.
situation.
I can't be this unhappy, whatever comes next. That's the way I thought about it, you know?
Gotcha.
It was just all of it. So, and I can remember, man, when the night I made that decision, I stayed up all night long. I did not sleep one wink. Like you say that, you know, but you really fell asleep. I stayed there staring at my ceiling all night long when I made the decision. Because I mean, dude, I had a gym for 16 years. It's like your baby, you know? And but it was time. Like I needed to do something else. So I closed it and I just took a leap of faith. So that was in May or June of 2019. And then I already had summer camps because I do summer camps as like another part of that business, you know, like I've done high school summer camps and stuff ever since college. So I was doing camps. I was like, oh, do some camps. I'll do some day trading. It'll be cool. And then my girlfriend at the time loses her job same summer. So I was like, so then kind of speeds up the process, but I end up selling my house that I had had for 20 years because I just got in that position. Once you've worked for yourself for 16 years, those are your good years of your life, right? Like you've already worked those, now you're in your mid 40s. You just closed your business. And I just didn't want to go take a job and get stuck paying bills, working a job, paying bills, working a job, paying a bill. You know what I mean? Like I didn't want to get stuck in that rat race. And so I was like, you know what? Let me sell my house. I'll take the equity out, which I know you're not supposed to do. Like, I know that's supposed to be your life savings. I was like, I'd rather live on it now and figure out what I really want to do next versus just go rush into some 9-to-5 job and get stuck doing something, you know? So, sold the house, moved 2 blocks over. I'm in the exact same neighborhood I was. I love this neighborhood. I did not want to sell.
How good were
But
you at the day trading? Like how well was that going for you?
not good. And the thing is, I'm good at it, but when you need the money, you cannot day trade. You know what I mean? Like you gotta have the right money mind when it comes to day trading. And if you're nervous about your money, like if your cash is low and you can't afford that loss, then you can't effectively trade because you're gonna emotionally take yourself out of it. You know what I mean?
Correct.
And you're gonna close the trade. Lose money and then the trade goes your way if you'd have just sat on it, you know? And then that drives you
Because
even crazier.
you're not thinking soundly.
It's just one of those, and that's where most people fail at trading, is they're not ready to just let the money go. That's the successful part. That's the successful level of traders, is you've got enough money where you're not stressed about it. You just put your trades on, you let them go. But, you know, I knew what to trade, but because money was tight, I wasn't sticking to my guns. You know what I mean? And I started meditating, which is a big part of this whole story, about 7 years ago. Like when I turned 40, when I turned 30, I wanted to get in shape because I'd kind of let myself go a little bit. I got married, you know, had a kid. It was first 5 years of your first kid. I was kind of a little bit overweight. So I wanted to get in shape. So when I turned 30, I was like, that's it. I'm getting a trainer. Even though I was an exercise science major, I had my CSCS, which is like a certified training degree. But I went and hired a trainer just so I'd go, like just to get my ass in the gym. I'm going. So I did that when I was 30. When I was 40, I said, I want to start reading books because like my mind came out of my divorce. The gym's not doing well. I was like, I got to get my mind right. So I'm going to start reading. So I started. Every morning, waking up 6 a.m., meditating first thing in the morning, reading for the next 15, 30 minutes with my cup of coffee, sometimes journaling. But like just that regimen over the last 7, 8 years is like, it changed everything. That's the whole reason I'm doing art to this day. Like, was just
So
being able to.
I don't do it every day, but I'll probably do it three times a week. And it gets me to a place of peace and to be pleasant, but I also get to see my day out, you know? And there are ways of it kind of just helps me, you know, get in the mode of not just getting through the day, but being able to stay calm and see things clearer. Like I don't just see the I have tunnel vision when I'm working or whatever, but I can see more. You know what I mean? Like there's other things that I can do. I can react better, and I can if something goes wrong, if there's an act, if something happens, I can react better to it. There's so many different things. I don't know how to put it right now, but it really does help transform the way that I
It's
do things.
that the moment between stimulus and reaction, there's a moment. You know what I mean? You can instantly knee-jerk react, or you can like,
Fall apart.
no, you know what I mean? Like, you get what I'm saying? Like,
And
and just in that moment, and like meditation for me gives
And
me that.
it puts it together for me. Goes, no, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna do it like this.
And it helps me not emotionally react. It helps me consciously react. And
It fills it in for me. It fills in the blank for me.
it really does. And like me, I got a busy brain. I think freaking 10,000 thoughts a day. Like, because I mean,
Oh,
I'm
I'm
doing
with
art
you.
all day.
I'm
Like,
with
a
you.
lot of it's tedious, kind of repetitive stuff. And so my brain is just, going. And for me, meditation helps me. Like when I start to get a little bit off, like when I start to go down a negative rabbit hole a little bit in one way or the other, I'll stop and just go meditate for 20 minutes. And it just gets me right back into like fresh, positive, focused thinking. So I've loved it, man. It really, I've had like 3 different days where I've had like 2 hours of bliss. Like no mind. No worries, just sun on my skin. I could feel the wind blowing, just bliss. Like, and I've never felt that before, dude. It, like, it was, it's been cool, man. I really, meditation is one of my, and
I
not
dig
just
it.
meditation, but like also I read a lot of like neuroplasticity, rewiring your brain, being trying to be your highest self. All that, all of those books, all those meditative and like self-enrichment books. A lot of Dr. Joe Dispenza. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
I haven't.
He really, a lot of his books and his teachings, man, he breaks your feelings. This really helped me with meditation and getting through a lot of my own like shit, to be honest with you. Feelings are nothing more than chemical cocktails in your body. Okay? Like when you feel jealous, like that fiery feeling in your gut, and your skin gets hot, and you start to sweat. All of those reactions in your body actually come from chemicals that your glands are releasing that make you feel jealous, right? And when I started framing my feelings like that, oh, it's just a physical chemical. Well, when we first learn to react in those situations, like when we first learn jealousy, we're probably in a daycare, somebody probably gets something we don't get, we get jealous, whatever, whatever. But like there's a moment where your body learns or reacts to what jealousy feels like. And every time you get triggered, the same feeling comes in, right? And when you don't resolve that first experience, it keeps triggering the same experience every time you have it. And so when you meditate and you want to like dissolve one of those instant reactions, you can kind of dig into the chemical, like to the feeling of it. And then, okay, when was the first time I felt that? Like, when did that first happen? You know what I mean? And like, I really have been able to just through meditation, like I can remember I was 4 years old at a babysitter's. When I remember the first time I felt jealous, and I can barely remember college. Like, there's no way I
Because
can remember back when I was 4 years old.
I don't remember it.
I don't either, but I remember when I felt it. Like, it's funny, man. I could recall from, does that make sense though? Like, from the chemical, like from the feeling of jealousy, I could trace it back in my memory, and I could attach it to the first time I felt it. Dude, it was crazy, man. Like, I've had some cool shit with meditation. I really have. Like, it's helped me resolve a lot of my issues. Not that I'm perfect by a long shot, but I just don't like one thing I think I've I've either read or saw on a podcast, an author once said, because they were talking about like prison and corporal punishment and all that stuff. And one author said, anything one of us is capable of, we are all capable of. And you don't think like that, because like you think of like a mass murderer or somebody that's sick, you're like, no, I can never do that. But if you were born, I mean, that person's human. If you were born where they were born, with the same parents they were born with the same chemical balance that that person has,
Or imbalance.
that could be you. You know what I mean? Like that could be you. So if any
Absolutely.
of us are capable of it, we all are.
And I
And
hear,
that just
and
kind of
I
like,
like the way that you said that, because a lot of people say that they wouldn't do something like that, but you don't know what will push you in that situation to
yeah.
do it. You know,
And because
you
we all have individual experiences, you know what I mean? From birth till we die, it's all an individual experience.
Absolutely. And I was telling a young man that probably a couple months ago, your experiences are different from other people that you work with. But the things that make you a hothead and make you want to snap out on people is totally different from the people who are trying to upset you and get you to snap off like that. They're trying to get you to snap off like that because they won't do what you're capable of doing. That's why they're doing it. That's why they're talking. You're not with the talking. You want to get into some action. So that's the separation between the two people. So you have to understand that when you're engaging in conversation with people, where is this conversation gonna go? Like, where do you stand with this group of people? You know, and for a person who has a tipping point, you know, you were talking about that person or a group of people like that. Their tipping point is totally different from mine's or someone else's, and you can't say that you would never do that unless you were in that type of situation.
Yeah. And we're all like, I mean, I think we've learned it more in the last, 4 years with all the political crap going on. It's just as far as how the political machine and how the marketing machine is just used. You know what I mean? How it's another story I heard in the last couple of years. It was this, he was a priest and he was either at an old school Catholic church or a Jewish church, or I don't really know, but I know it wasn't like here in the US. It was some big, huge, grand thing. And he's giving a talk about how the devil has used sexuality to break down society. That's what the devil uses. This is his first thing he introduces when a civilization, like a city, becomes a city. The first thing he digs in on is sexuality. And even heterosexuality is the first, because if you think about it, love and lovemaking is supposed to be like, if you, I say supposed to be in a natural world, it's an expression of love. You feel something for someone else, you like each other, you're affectionate. It's a natural form of love, right? Like you're expressing love. And there's procreation and there's, all that stuff, and it's all natural, and it's all in the house of love and nature, right? That's kind of the Adam and Eve style of things, right? Well, as soon as we introduce heterosexuality, now we're getting into ego. Now it's more about my prowess, right? Now it's like, oh, I'm this good looking, I can have all these women, or and so it goes from heterosexuality to homosexuality to lesbianism to trans to bestiality. And that's the evolution of it in every society. And basically what it's doing is just getting you into your ego. It's getting you into your feelings, which separates us from the maker, from source, and gets us like pushing away from each other, basically, and in our own little bubbles. If you look at what we're doing today, all they're trying to do, like politics only works when there's division. You know what I'm saying? Like if you have a million people in front of you angry about how you're running the government, they're gonna say, wait, millions too many. Half of you need to get over here. So who are the women, get over here, the men, get over here. You know what I mean? They literally just break us into as many small
So
boxes
many
as they can.
subdivisions of people, and it doesn't make any sense, man.
Because the more we're in our feelings, the more we're mad. Because like when you're in your feelings, you're instantly dumber, right? Because you're releasing those chemicals that make you stupid. And you just want to be combative and argue with everybody. If they keep the gaggles arguing with everybody, they can do whatever they want behind the scenes,
Absolutely.
and it just runs. And
Absolutely.
like people don't understand that that's the politics, that's the game. Like, we need to get rid of politics.
I
Like,
think, but I think to that point, that's why so many people are sheep. So many people are gullible, right? Because you got so many people who think that their side is right and the other side is wrong, or that, but they don't realize that, hey, there's a handful of people like guiding you all into these categories to make you guys hate each other. And there's only one thing that should really matter is the people and being on the side of good or the side of wrong, you know, the side of good or the side of evil. Like, that's the only thing that actually matters. Right wing, left wing, it's all the same bird. You know, like, they're just making you choose sides against for things that, you know, they
and
want you
it's
to,
ridiculous.
they
And
want you
it's
to believe
ridiculous how
that
they
this
make you
matters
choose
more than the
sides.
other.
Just
It's
like, well,
crazy.
you like this, and this, but you hate this, and this. Well, then you're on this side. Well, it's like, wait a minute, why do I have to hate those things and like these things?
And what they do is, like, I think you said this, like, they play off the fact that you're an emotional person, right? They get all these people emotional and they get these people feeling a certain way. And one side hates the other and the other side hates it. It's just all this confusion. And then you got all these different categories of peoples and all these different factions underneath all of that stuff. And shit just gets out of hand, man. And you're just sitting there looking. For me, I'm just sitting there looking like, man, dude, is anybody paying attention to the person that's actually pulling the strings? Like,
And the craziest thing is with social media and algorithms, because like we have this, everybody has this natural, like we want to validate our beliefs, right? So we naturally look for things that make us right. You know, like we click on that post, oh yeah, you know, either I hate Trump or I love Trump, you know, and like when you click on it, well, it shows you more, you know, and it shows you, oh, he's a bigger asshole, or it shows you, oh, he is gonna be the guy that turns it around. You know what I mean? Like it literally shows you one of two narratives depending on what you click on. So we have never been more right in our thinking because we are all validated in our beliefs with our algorithm. Like the algorithm just shows you, yes, you're right, you're right. Look, here's another one. It shows you, you're right, you're
And
right, you're
you're
right,
not
you're right.
really necessarily right. It's just what
Right.
you chose. Like,
But
the
it, yes.
algorithm goes and grabs that and says, oh, that's what you like. Here, I'm gonna put more of this in front of you.
And so we all get off the phone, like, ah, I know I'm right. And when an argument comes up, you're just like, what are you crazy? I just saw 100 pieces of content on
Right.
social
No, no,
media
no, no, no.
that
What
proves
is
that I'm right.
But what's your opinion, though? What is your
Right.
actual fact? Like, what facts do you have, and how can you put it together
And see,
to
I
argue
think,
your piece, you
and I
know?
really think algorithms, man, I really truly believe that is part of the bigger, like, why there's such a big wedge between the two sides now. Like, people just won't even talk. Like, I think it's crazy. And honestly, I attribute it to algorithms because I think we are so right, we don't even want to be challenged by it. You know what I mean? Like,
And it's not
the
even a
people.
matter of being right, it's just a matter of opinion. Like, most
No,
people
I
just
know.
have
And I
an
mean,
opinion.
it's personally right. You know what I mean, though? Like, in our own little opinions
Bubble.
about everything.
Bubble. And a friend of mine, six, we were sitting around talking about this before, and we said people fall into these they fall into these rabbit holes or these foxholes, and they end up going down them. And next thing you know, you're in this echo chamber of everybody that says the same type of shit that you're saying. But no, they're not listening to anybody outside of that. They're just listening to people in this echo chamber because they're emotionally distraught or unstable, and they just want to hear people talk and say that have the same viewpoints as them. And that's something that you should get away from, you know, is listening to people that all have the same type of mind, hive mind.
That's why I like reading every morning. It puts fresh thoughts in your brain. You know what I mean? I saw a thing that said 95% of our day is on autopilot. Like we don't think about it. We don't have to make a decision. It's on autopilot. And if that's the case, if 95% of our day is on autopilot, and you're not like, you know, 10 years ago, I wasn't in a good place. Like I was just I was going through it, you know? And so I needed new thoughts in my head, man. I couldn't keep thinking the same thoughts. I needed something new in my brain, you know? And so that's when reading every morning just really, I don't know, man, just tuned me up a little bit, you know. I needed a mental restructuring, you know. But like when I got to the end of it all with politics going off is really what got me into art too, because like if you rewind to 2020, COVID hit. We had the George Floyd murder, which was all, you know, all over social media and all over the news, all over politics, all over everything. Division, division, division. Trump's killing us all, but like just
Had
full court trying
COVID.
to like ruin his, reelection and just all of it. And I just, they would, I felt like they were also coming after like mainstream white Christian American men like me. Like we're the bad guy. Like they're sitting there saying the next, the biggest threat to democracy is the white Christian guy. I'm like, and it was like the first time that I just didn't agree with the narrative at all. You know what I mean? Like they didn't speak for me. Like you don't speak for me. You don't speak for who I like, who I don't like, what side I'm on. Just you don't speak for me. I wanted to have a voice because I really felt like voiceless. You know what I mean? Like I felt like I had no way whatsoever of just showing my dissatisfaction with what was going on. And so like I think that also fueled kind of wanting to make art to reconnect with
Okay.
people
Did you start
because,
doing art pieces around that time to kind of like express your views? Okay.
like I wanted to. So I read a book right around that same time, and it was on what's your soul's purpose? And you do all these worksheets, go through the book, and at the end of it, you come up with two soul's purpose. My two soul's purpose was love and connection. The happiest, funnest moments of my life revolved around love and connection. And so I was like, all right. I want to do that. What am I going to do love and connection? And meditated on it all through COVID. I have three girls in my house. And when we were locked inside together, man, I meditated for hours a day. Like it was just a trip to a different, just a mental world for me. And so I literally just lay there and I'd meditate. And I stumbled on doing art again. I was like, you know what? I've always been creative. Get back to your roots. Don't forget, like, you know how to do this stuff. Like, what do you want to make? And I'd done some woodworking 20 years ago. I'd made like a couple entertainment centers. And I was looking at Pinterest and I was looking for my next tattoo design and thinking if I wanted to make something out of wood. And I was like, you know what? I bet I can make tattoo designs, like traditional tattoo designs out of wood. There's a history there with tattoo, there's a language. It'd be kind of cool because, like, a certain image in tattoo means something. And so I just kind of thought that was a cool thing to borrow from and turn that into wall art. And so that's how I got started. And then when I opened up for commissions, just kind of everything in the world started coming in. And none of it was like really traditional tattoo stuff. It was just like people wanted this, that, or the other. And so I just adapted and then really tried hard, like really applied myself. Every piece I made, tried to make it as good as I could, even if it was like a small little thing. And then I did a couple portraits. And I think by the third portrait I made, I was like, I'm pretty good at these, dude. Like, I should, because as an artist, you don't really know what your focus is going to be when you first start. You just kind of make everything and just kind of see what happens, And after I think I made my third portrait, I was like, I bet if I worked on these, I could get a little bit better at them. And so that was like 2 years ago. And so I just started working hard on them. And then once I got good at portraits, it's like, okay, well, who do you want to make? Because that's the million-dollar question. Okay, you can make anybody you want. Now who do you want to make? And so for me, I grew up in the 80s and 90s. I was a Blockbuster video kid, like go to the video store every Friday, rent movies, go home. So like I love movies, you know what I mean? Like I love these guys because like it's just to me that was like the good years, you know what I mean? And like not that there's not good years ahead of us, but compared to the last 10, I feel like the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s were like the golden years so far.
Those are the best times. Since you spoke on movies, name me your top five favorite movies of all time. All time. It don't have to be a category, just all time.
Dumb and Dumber is definitely up there.
Nah, that's a good one.
Man, Tombstone's got to be one of them. That's my favorite Western. Man, who else? There's so many good ones from the 80s. I have to think about them. Better Off Dead. You remember that one with John Cusack, where he was like a snow, kind of a snowbird, had the newspaper boy that wanted his $2.
I heard the title, but I don't remember the movie. I don't think I saw the movie.
There were some funny ones back then. Weird Science has got to be one of them. Remember Weird Science?
Nope.
And then Goonies, probably. It's one of my favorite kids' movies.
Okay, Weird Science. No, I don't remember that. And I think we're from the same era, so
Weird
I don't.
Science, when they made the supermodel, they had the bras on their heads. It was like a computer nerd kind of movie.
Okay.
But like at the beginning, and they had these bras on their heads, and they like hooked their computers up, and they like, I don't know, plug in some plugs, and then zap, this woman appears, and it's like a supermodel. And so they like, it's funny. They
Okay.
like
Yes.
strut her around with all their friends and stuff.
Okay.
Weird Science. That's a class. You haven't seen Weird Science?
Nah, man. I was outside a lot, man. I don't, you know.
Yeah. And that was true too. I mean, yeah, those were the days, man.
Yeah, it was a
And
different time back then. Like you could be outside, rain, sleet, hail, or snow. Like I'm from Chicago, so even in the winter, you're either outside playing in the snow, doing summer, I mean, when doing winter sports. Or if you're
Yep.
like me, you're out trying to hustle, shoveling snow or raking leaves or something like that to earn a couple of dollars a day. So there was always something to do outside.
Yeah.
So movies, I didn't really get heavy into the movies until like, not heavy, but I didn't get into movies until like the mid 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Weird Science probably right before that.
Like if I was watching a movie, it was probably at home, unless like it was like a special occasion where they took us to the movie to the show to see some movie that was out, like Batman or something. But for the
Yeah.
most part, I was watching like whatever was at home from my cousins or something like that, or their boyfriends.
Nice. What do you do outside of podcasting?
Outside of podcasts, so I work a regular 9 to 5. I work in a finance department. So
Okay.
yeah, that's my daily gig there, and then I jump down and I do this when I can, scheduling guests, and I have to get back into doing hip hop music as well, rapping.
Nice.
So yeah, but yeah, that's kind of like the three things that I really do like to do. That's my way of connecting to my own art, especially when I get to pin words together.
Yeah.
And do that.
Yeah. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. You know, I get to just think up the funniest people I can remember from the movies I liked back in the day. And dude, there's so many good ones, like from the 80s, 90s, and
Yeah.
2000s. I mean,
I got to get more back into the art because I started out as an artist, and I haven't done a lot of art in years though. I kind of just walked away from it because of just life kind of was just like, ah, fuck that. So I got upset with my life and the situation at the time. So I kind of just walked away from art and just started focusing on music because I was doing both at one point in time, and I just kind of walked away from the art.
Yeah. And see, I just, dude, when I was thinking of what I wanted to make, I noticed, I think growing up with an artist dad, he always pointed out every little detail of things, you know, and so like I just kind of always grew up noticing things. And like the last 4 years watching the Super Bowl ads, you know, because you always watch Super Bowl ads when you watch Super Bowl. All of those commercials were targeting Gen X. You know what I mean? Like all of those commercials, like they're bringing back people from sitcoms in the 80s that haven't done anything in 30 years to put them in commercials. You know, like, I mean, they're just blatantly going after the 50 to 60-year-old. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, what do I like? Because that's me. Like, I'm 49. What do I like? Because whatever I like, I guarantee all those other people like, you know, and so just trying to go for it, like, well, I like Dumb and Dumber, so I'm fucking making a Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
I like Ace
and then
Ventura.
telling you that these guys are about to do another movie or another sitcom or something like that, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Those are my childhood heroes, man.
Yeah. And they're fun, you know, and like, I don't know. I think I didn't see a whole lot of other artists making kind of Gen X portraits, you know. I do have a couple of friends that do like they do paint portraits like in this genre, but like I don't know, there's just something different when you make it like this, you know what I mean? Like I don't know. It's just different. Like I feel like it kind of has almost like a quilting kind of effect to it because like you're giving it all these different, all the pieces, different texture with the different stencils and stuff. And I don't know, dude. It looks, and in person it looks better than it does on video. And I'm really excited. Next month is my first exhibition where I'm actually going to be in front of people. So I'm excited for it.
How many pieces do you plan on putting up? All of them, or are you gonna have like a selected?
I've got like 20 feet of wall space and
Okay.
then like another, I don't know, 6 feet. So I'm kind of deciding, like, I don't know. It's one of those, I want to take the ones that look cool, but I also want to take some that haven't sold yet. So
Mm-hmm.
I could actually sell some pieces versus,
Yeah, get some stuff out the way, clear
because
some space.
I want to take Run DMC. It's already sold, but like, I want to take it just to show it off because it's a cool piece. I think, everybody instantly recognizes Run DMC, but it's already sold. I'd like to take Mars Blackman, but again, it's already sold. I don't know. We'll see.
In
I haven't really
that
decided.
case, do you just like put up a print of it and just say, look, I can't bring this here because it's so.
No, I'll take it because, like, to do a live event, like, that's one thing that, like, as an artist, you want to hang on to your work as long as you can because you want to show it to as many people as you can before you ship it off. Because once it's shipped, it's gone.
It's gone. Yeah.
Never see it again, And I've learned all these lessons the last 4 years, And so I definitely want to take it because it's worth showing it off, but I'm definitely juggling, like, okay, which ones am I gonna hang and which ones are not gonna hang? Because I don't know. What do you think? You think you show off your best, or you think you show off what you have for sale?
I think you put a mixture of pieces together, and you just bring them on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll rotate pieces. Maybe I'll take extra pieces
Yeah.
and
And just
have
or just
some.
have some like on stands and then have some on the wall as well, and just bring some of the best stuff and then like you said, bring some of the work that hasn't sold yet and like kind of have them all. The stuff that hasn't sold, put that like in the middle. Between the stuff that's like your best art or whatever,
Yeah.
and just have it all there together.
That should be fun though. It's
I
at
mean,
a event called Turp Basel. So it's a
okay.
cannabis industry
Okay.
art music experience. It should be a lot of fun, man. There's a lot of cool vendors there, a lot of cool artists. And it's the same weekend as Art Basel. Are you familiar with Art Basel?
I am. I had a friend who had some work come down there.
Nice. So it's that same weekend. So should get a lot of traffic, from that whole crowd through all the events because they kind of, from what I hear, I haven't been there yet, but they just go from one to the next, like the whole crowd just kind of goes from one art venue to the next. So
What's
should be.
what all mediums do you use besides wood cutting? Is it painting, and what type of painting are you doing?
Yep. So I do everything's covered with a scroll saw, and I just use 1x12 pine select for my wood. And then once I cut it out, I shape it all with a belt sander. I use like a 1x42 inch belt sander, which is really used for sharpening knives, but it just hums. It's like 3,300 RPMs. And so when you take wood to that, it's like butter, And so I get all the shape out of it with that, and then I smooth it with a little like palm sander, like little finger thing. Gets all smooth. Then I use an HVLP sprayer, which is like what they spray motorcycles and cars with. But I don't do oil paints, I do water-based paints. So prime it all, sand it all again after you prime it to get it
So
smooth again.
even a Mars Blackman, you use watercolor with that one?
Yeah, water-based.
Water base. All right.
It's acrylic paint.
There we go. Acrylic. All right.
But yeah, and then paint it a couple of base coats, which kind of just gives me my fades, like from light red to dark red, or whatever the piece is. I typically don't leave it one color red. Like even when I paint a red, it's three reds. It's the brightest, and then a little bit darker, and then a little bit darker. That makes all your pieces glow, a little bit more. And then I'll go back and I'll use my stencils and I'll put in my little extra, all the texture, all the grid stuff, all the dots. That's kind of the last thing I do. And then fit it all together. see what needs to be repainted. There's always something that needs to be repainted because, I mean, everything's kind of exploded when I have it stuck on my paint boards. So you're guessing, I mean, it's educated guessing, but there's usually something wrong with it when you put it together.
What are you using to coat it so it doesn't fade or anything?
I have an acrylic, well, not an acrylic. It's a just a matte clear finish that I put over the whole thing. But I mean, it's really I use Behr Dynasty paints from Home Depot, and so that's their like scuff resistant, dent resistant, blah 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 resistant. It's like their highest end durable paint, so it's actually a really durable, like. Handling it, picking up, putting it down, any of that kind of stuff, it's good.
How long does it take you to make a piece of art, piece of one of your works?
It depends on just how, big the design is. Something like this one probably took me about 3 weeks. I'd say probably about 70, 80 hours, somewhere in there. I'm pretty efficient at it. Once I get the design done, I print the design out, I cut it, I lay it out on my boards, cut all the pieces out, sand it, and like it's just 13 steps, and it's just, I do the color at the very end. I don't know. Like I definitely when it comes to color, I kind of visualize it on my iPad, and I just play with a bunch of literally like kind of a coloring book like you would, and I just collage a bunch of stuff in there, play with some things, and then once I get the colors looking right, I print that out, and that's kind of like my color map that I go when I go to the paint booth.
Are there
And
any
the art.
artists? Are there any artists that you draw inspiration from?
For my specific style, I don't think so. But there are artists out there that like just do kind of the cool, I'd say the same genre that I'm like consider myself in. You know what I mean? Like just kind of the younger hip hop culture and pop culture of like Gen X.
Yeah, I was just gonna say in general, it doesn't have to be from they have to do wood cutting, but just
Yeah.
artists in
Other
general.
no, there's a lot of cool ones. I like actually like to watch lettering artists. Like there's a couple guys that like paint glass, like the fronts of like barber shops or whatever. Man, I can watch those guys. I love that stuff. There are some really cool HVLP like motorcycle artists and like car artists, like automotive paint people that do the masking and stuff that they do. Cause I mean that's their job. Like they've been doing it forever. I've been doing this for 4 years. Like they've been doing that stuff. They got all kinds of tricks with paint and stencils and taping and masking and stuff. Like,
But that's crazy though, but in the amount of time that you just started from switching from career to career, you have some really dope pieces, and it seems like they're just getting better and better as you go along,
yeah, I keep following my gut, like just do the funniest, craziest stuff that you want to do, because when you're having fun doing the thing, that's when people are going to find your vibe. You know what I mean? Like, you just got to put out that. Yeah. Have you seen that example of those tuning forks? So there's this example I've seen on social media. They've got a tuning fork and it says, 528 hertz. And they've got another tuning fork over here and it says like 400 and something hertz, right? And so they ding it and nothing happens to this one because they're two different frequencies. Well, then they take the same frequency, like 400 something hertz and 400 something hertz, and they ding it. And when this one dings, it makes this one vibrate. They don't even touch. It's just the vibration, just the sound of the vibration coming out of that one makes this one vibrate.
I've seen
That's
them.
the perfect example
I've seen
of how
them.
social media works for artists. You put out your vibe, and people with the same vibe, it'll bounce off of them. But you got to put it out.
You
You
got to
got to
put it
put it out
out.
consistently, and you got to put it out, and it's got to look good. Like, that's one thing when you start posting on social media. Like, if you smile on camera, it's going to see more views. If you sit there and just post a video of you looking at your of your artwork, it won't get any views. But if
It's
you are
not.
in front of your artwork and you're like, "Hey, look at me, my artwork in
Yeah,
the
and you're
background,"
active and people see that you're doing the work, then that's a
the
different
algorithm will
story.
show it more. It
Yeah.
shows you more if you're outside. It likes green for some reason. It likes sunlight for some reason.
Yeah.
But like, there's just certain things that you kind of learn about the algorithm. And and I've been better at some, like there's been 3 and 6 month stints, where I've been really good at social media, but then I fall off like everybody. Like I try to stay a post a day, but
Yeah, I'm tough. It's tough for me to do that because, I got other moving parts going on, and I'm at work, so
but it
sometimes,
works though. I
yeah.
mean, I can't argue with it working. Like I haven't done all of my business in 4 years, 95% of it has come from Instagram.
Really? That's
Yeah.
not a bad. That's not a bad thing.
And
So,
straight through DMs, man, all of it.
yeah, I bet. So, with that said, are you doing commissions?
Yeah.
How many commissions have you done?
A lot.
A lot. Okay.
I've done, I don't even know, man. I've done mostly commissions because once I opened up, like I did my tattoo designs for like the first 3 months I was making, and I didn't tell anybody I was doing it. I was just making them, and I was videoing everything. I was building my own page, and then like about 3 months in, I was like, "All right, guys, look what I've been doing. I'm open for commissions." And like when I said that, I had a bunch of commissions come in, and granted, I've had slow times since then, but I mean, first year I was making art, and I was making like a little small couple hundred dollar, pieces. I did $30,000 in sales. The next year I did close to 60. Last year I did 95 or something. Or no, I think it was a little bit over. I think it was right at 100. And then I think this year it'll be more than that. It's been good. Like my prices have gone from, I started off at, I remember the first two flowers I sold were for $75 each. And now I've sold for over $10,000. So
It's a good move, huh?
it's
It's a good
been going
move.
well. It's
Yeah.
been going well. Like my last four commissions have all been right up in that, $10,000 range. So I cannot complain. I just gotta, keep hammering. I think Spike Lee buying one of my pieces is definitely a good, I think that's a good sign, like
That's a big pat on the back once you get one of those. It's like,
a good
okay.
stamp, it
Yeah.
really, and it feels good,
Hell yeah. Absolutely, it
bust my
does.
ass to, make the best art I can make. Because I
Yeah.
got a lot of cool shit I want to make, and I don't know, I like hip hop and pop culture. And granted, I'm not the guy that's going to, rap battles on a Saturday night or anything, but I love and enjoy rap and music of all genres, you know what I mean? And
Okay.
I love the movie, like I love Friday's another one of my top five movies. I probably
You should have threw
missed.
that in there, man.
Yeah, because Friday is one of my top five
You should have
movies.
threw that in
Like,
there, and you didn't.
I love Friday, dude. But it's just, I don't know. I've always been that kind of vibe. Like, I'm cool with everybody, and I want to celebrate the people that, because like being an artist and you put yourself out there, you realize how hard it is for actors and musicians and
Yeah.
people who make it in, other aspects of art.
Yeah.
Like, man,
Let me
that's
ask you
tough. Like,
that.
it's tough.
Let me ask you that. Can you name your top five rap albums?
It'd take me a while.
Okay.
My like when I say my music's eclectic, I mean eclectic, dude. Like I'll put on, well, Dr. Dre and Snoop, top of my list when it comes to just music I like to jam out to. Like I put
All
Dr.
right.
Dre radio on
All
via
right.
Pandora,
All
and
right.
like all the music that comes off of
So it's
Dr.
just
Dre
mainly for
radio.
you, it would just be mainly the artist, not necessarily an album.
Yeah,
Yeah.
not
Okay. All
necessarily album.
right. Cool.
Yeah, but Dre, Snoop, I like Kanye.
Okay.
He used to like Jay-Z and all of them before all the Diddy shit started happening, but yeah. That stuff makes me weird, like hearing about all that shit, it's like,
I don't think it makes you weird. I think the situation is weird to just hear about it, but
yeah.
I
And
think
it's one of those things, you never know, like media twist shit.
yeah, we'll never know the full story, but something happened,
Yeah. I mean,
something happened.
listen, if you're getting freaky, you're getting freaky. Now, if there's illegal shit going on, there's illegal shit going on. But I mean, if it's you're just getting freaky.
I just hear about it and I go, oh, okay, cool. And I keep on
Yeah.
going, man.
And I don't
Like,
really want to know anybody's business. Like,
no, I don't give a
I
fuck.
don't know. I think it's
I don't give
sad
a
that they've
fuck.
all kind of gotten themselves twisted in some kind of
Yeah. Well,
whatever
it,
that is. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it
yeah.
is, if it's some secret sex society, if it's whatever it
It could
is.
be that, or it could just be the fact that, he sued that company about his liquor and he won that lawsuit and there's some other shit that was going on. So it could just be coming after him, So you came after us and you won, now we're gonna go after you or whatever. So
Yeah. And they do that shit, dude.
yeah.
Like, they do.
That's totally true. Totally true. Absolutely.
I definitely
So.
don't think he's innocent of whatever, but I don't know. I
Changing
and
the
now
subject, going back to your commissions,
I'm
all
sorry,
right?
sorry,
Because
sorry.
I just don't want to,
No, you're right.
I don't want to get into that.
You're good.
Doing a commissions, did you ever take one and you were just like, damn, I shouldn't have done this?
Yeah.
This guy's really, this person is really, too much of a headache for me.
There's been a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've learned, like, 'cause like when I started doing this, I was meditating on it, you know, like I was really like in my like, what do I want to do? Like if I could do anything, what do I want to do? And so I think coming at it with that energy is a bonus, you know, like anytime you've got that like excited energy going into a project, like I did this Trump piece, and don't get me wrong, I wanted to make it as good as I could possibly make it. But I don't want to get into politics. You know what I mean? Like I know I don't want to post it. I don't want to share it because I just don't want to drum it up. Like Joe Rogan stayed away from it. I want to stay away from it. You know what I mean? Like this is my art page. I don't want it to be a political page. So, you know, I made this Trump, but I wasn't like excited like I was making Mars Blackmon. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Or even a Pee Wee Herman. You know what I mean? Like somebody that's fun for my genre, I'd much rather be making than a commission that's just not in my pocket. You know what I mean? I had a client just the other day say she wanted to Missy Elliott.
Oh,
I've been
wow.
dying to make a Missy Elliott. I was like, hell yeah, let's go. You know what I mean? Like,
That's a good
I
one.
can't wait to make. But then there's some that just, you know, just not my cup of tea. I still make them, of course. And I enjoy making them, but I definitely don't have as much enthusiasm for every project. Although I do want to make them as good as humanly possible.
I bet, I bet,
Yeah.
I bet. So the art show that you got coming up, do you, when is it?
December 6th, 7th, and 8th.
December 6th, 7th, and 8th. Go ahead and give out the information if you want to.
It's at Turp Basel. It's at a skate park. Man, I should have had the information ready. Sorry, but it's at Turp Basel. It's going to be in Miami 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's from 6 p.m. to 12 every night, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Should be a lot of cool vendors, a lot of cool experience going on, cool music. I'm excited, man. I can't wait to go hang out with the thing. So I'll be there and, you know, have a bunch of my stuff with me. So it should be a good time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. Is there any words of encouragement you would like to leave with people before we get off here?
Yeah. Meditate. Meditate and start reading.
Yes,
I feel
sir.
like people get pushed around by their emotions. And you can, you know, going into this election cycle, I think you can really see how supercharged people were emotionally. And I think the more people become aware of themselves and their issues, the more you can control yourself and not let yourself get pushed around by other people's shit, you know? And if I can encourage anybody that, it's just find meditation because it helps you, just helps you see better.
Find your balance. Get some
Yeah.
balance.
Yeah, I think later in life I'll become a meditation coach, to be honest.
I just like being able to do that, and finding that source of calm and that source of peace, man.
Yeah,
It
it really is. It's not.
changes things for at least for me. It changes things for me,
I honestly, man, I started off doing the most basic pieces, and the only reason I like evolved into what I'm doing now was meditation. Literally laying down, getting silent, getting still, and then thinking through
Oh
whatever,
man.
whatever the problem was, whatever I needed to do
Because if
next.
I really wanted to show people what I was really feeling, it would be a different, be a different outcome. So I totally understand that. I get it.
So it's been cool, man.
Yeah. BH, Ben Hazelrig, I appreciate you jumping on my podcast. Ladies and
Thank you
gentlemen, this
both.
has been another episode. And as always, remember the mission statement when you're striving for greatness. God never puts you in the driver's seat if it's taken. Ben, I appreciate you jumping on the podcast and giving me some of your time and energy.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Look forward to getting back to you again. All right.
All right, bud.
All right. Take care.